Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Last week, we began a conversation with Rabbi James Rudin about Nostra Aetate. Nostra Aetate is Latin for in our time, and it's the name of a document that was crafted by the Roman Catholic Church in the 1960s during the Second Vatican Council, and it revolutionized the relationship between Catholics and Jews. It's now 55 years old, and we're taking a look at the origination of the document and what it means today. A little bit about our guest, Rabbi James Rudin. He has a distinguished educational career at Wesleyan University, George Washington University, Hebrew Union College, and the University of Illinois. Rabbi Rudin served congregations in Kansas City, Missouri, and Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, and was an Air Force chaplain stationed in Japan and Korea. As a member of the American Jewish Committee's professional staff for 32 years, Rabbi Rudin serves as its senior interreligious advisor and a member of the organization's Board of Governors. He is a distinguished visiting professor of religion and Judaica at St. Leo University and teaches at Florida Gulf Coast University Renaissance Academy. So we welcome once again to Common Threads, Rabbi James Rudin. Hello, sir.
I'm happy to be back. When I, of course, I'm a member of the Fighting Illini, but Michigan and Michigan State always seem to triumph over Illinois football teams. So, but that's okay.
Yeah, we kind of do.
I love Michigan.
Good. I'm very happy to know that. So last week, we were talking about the crafting of Nostra Aetate, and in that you brought up the numbers, that is to say, how many bishops voted for it, and it was over a couple thousand. But there was some opposition, and from what I know, there was a move to table the discussion for later.
Exactly.
And I'm curious if you are aware of the opposition's thought on this. What made them hesitant to move forward with Nostra Aetate?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that when Pope John the 23rd, died in 1963, in the midst of all of this, because the Vatican Council lasted from 62 to 1965, it was felt, well, gee, maybe the whole process is running out of gas, because the Pope who called the Vatican Council has passed away. But it wasn't true. Pope Paul VI, who pushed it forward, and he was the one who promulgated it in 65. The opposition, yes, there was, and I want to say again, I mentioned it last week, but maybe some folks weren't on the didn't hear it. And the vote at the end for this Nostra Aetate document, which you correctly translated as from the Latin, in our time, the joke was, well, it's about time, and it was about time that it was passed. Well, the vote was 2,211 votes to 88. Now, that opposition seems very small, but it was very vocal, and it came from two distinct sources among the bishops. Remember, all the world's bishops were involved in this Vatican document and in the Vatican Council. So who were they, and what were they? Why did they oppose it? One group was what it would be called, and my Catholic friends have called it, the old guard, the old conservative, very traditional, let's not make a change on anything at any time about any event or any doctrine or any teaching. And so that was a bulk that said, well, this is what we've been teaching about Jews and the Jewish religion, and this is what we should continue to teach. It's unchanging. So you get that theological, religious, old guard, it was called, of bishops. Not large in number, but very vocal. And the second at the time, came from Roman Catholic bishops in Arab countries, in predominantly Muslim countries, because they believed falsely that, gee, if we pass such a document to make such positive changes in our teaching, preaching, liturgy about Jews and Judaism, it will explode. It will cause demonstrations and violence within these Muslim, sometimes Arab, countries. And so they were opposed to it. And if you notice, there is no mention in the 1965 document, it's only 620-some words in English, about the State of Israel. That came later in recognition between the Vatican and the State of Israel, not till 1993. And there is no specific phrasing of the word deicide, which is means killing God. However, the document repudiates that the false charge that Jews not only killed Jesus, it was the Roman occupiers who did that, but that they are to be punished eternally, then, now, and in the future forever, for their terrible sin, which never took place. But the phrase anti-Semitism is in there. And anti-Semitism, I want everybody to understand exactly what that means, hatred of Jews and Judaism. And the document is very strong. It says anti-Semitism must be repudiated by Catholics coming from any source, at any time, from anywhere. Very strong. And so what happened after that opposition was beaten back, 88 votes as opposed to about 2,200 votes, you didn't need a recount, if I can be a little facetious. It was over. That really opened the gates for change in teaching, in dialogues, in conferences, in books, in sermons, and in preaching. And we're not there yet. Let me put it in some terms maybe the listeners will better understand. I look upon Nostra Aetate as like it's wholesale. It describes what needs to be done for the church throughout the world. And we're talking about a very, very, very large faith community, the Roman Catholic Church. That's wholesale. It's there. It's written. What we've been trying to do for the past 55 years, and we maybe never finish with it, is the retail side of it, the individual parishes, parochial schools, seminaries, men's clubs, women's clubs, youth groups. That's retail. The parish, the church down the block, in the neighborhood, in Grand Rapids and everywhere else. And that job is, of course, much, much bigger than just simply getting Nostra Aetate passed, which was a revolution. But then it had to be carried out and is being carried out. And that's what Catholic-Jewish relations are today. Since then, and that's 55 years ago, there have been numerous positive statements which have expanded, elaborated, made more explicit from Nostra Aetate by the Catholic Church, references to the Holocaust, attitudes towards the Jewish community, the recognition, the diplomatic recognition between the Holy See, which is the official name of the Vatican, and in Rome, and the Jewish State of Israel. That didn't happen until 1993. So it's a mistake if someone new to this sees Nostra Aetate as the be-all and end-all, or put it in Greek, the Alpha, Omega, or from A to Z. It was the opening. It set the stage. It was the building block. And that opposition was overcome. Since then, the advances have been extraordinary. I like to say, in fact, I'm widely quoted, that there have been more positive relationships, events, conferences, more positive relationships between Catholics and Jews in the last 55 years than there were in the first 1900 years of the Catholic Church. And that's not because we're just so good. I think we are in many ways. It's because relations were so bad for those first 1900 years. And I mentioned last week that the phrase that says it all is a teaching of contempt. I had a Catholic professor, a friend of mine, who said, putting it in computer terms, if you put bad stuff in the computer, it'll come out bad stuff. And so if you indoctrinate children with a hatred of a particular people, religious community, a religion, in this case, the Jewish people and Judaism, and you do that to a young person, unfortunately, that can stay with the person's entire life. So the object is change the education, improve it, make it better, and overcome that teaching of contempt so that when the education goes into the brain, into the computer system, the human computer system, what comes out is what the Vatican Council statement called for. And I want to say these words very carefully because this is a direct quote. Catholics must build with the Jewish community mutual respect, mutual knowledge, and mutual understanding. Goes both ways. And part of my job is not only to work with Catholics to make sure that they understand the richness of Jews and Judaism, the theological richness, but for my own community to say, look, the Roman Catholic Church, okay, it's been negative for over 1900 years, but there is change. And you have to recognize that change and work with those who are change agents. And that has been happening as well.
If you're just
so that's why you see local rabbis, local priests, local parishes, local synagogues and temples working together, particularly in North America.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Common Threads here on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella. My guest today is Rabbi James Rudin. And we are talking about Nostra Aetate, the declaration of the Catholic Church that has improved Judeo-Christian relationships so very much. Rabbi, I understand that American Catholics had a lot to do with pushing Nostra Aetate through.
Absolutely.
And am I correct in my understanding that a good chunk of that support was actually from American laity and not just clergy?
You got that 100% right, maybe more than 100%. Interreligious is much more than just documents and conferences and statements and declarations. Interreligious, and I've been at this for a very long time, is interpersonal. It's up close and personal. And what we have in the United States, thank God, is something so unique. You have a viable Jewish community and a viable Roman Catholic community, where both the clergy on both sides and the lay people, the men and women in the pew, in the synagogues, temples, parishes, get to know one another, work with one another, go to school together, live together in neighborhoods. That's what made the difference in the 1960s. So that when Jews were presented, say, in very negative terms, stereotypic terms, the Jew. American Catholics said, no, that's not my neighbor. That's not the woman I work with. That's not the school teacher I had. That's not the guy that is my boss or I'm his boss. These are real people with real faith. And you can't just stereotype them and make them into two-dimensional pieces of cardboard. And it was the same for the bishops in America and the clergy. And I want to give a shout out to one cardinal especially, but there were many, many American bishops who pushed very hard for Nostra Aetate. But when you mentioned when things were going bad and it looked like the whole statement on Jews and Judaism was going to be tabled. And many of your listeners know you've been in organizations. When you table something, that's the graveyard often. You know, it's just, well, for further study, we're going to table this proposition, this proposal for further study. And of course, it's never studied. It's gone. There was a movement to table any statement on Jews and Judaism as late as 1964. And almost to the rescue came the American bishops, led by, I'll mention two of them. The Archbishop of New York was Francis Spellman, and the Archbishop of Boston, who was Cardinal Richard Cushing. And in 1964, in September, when it looked like it was all going to go into the table, and Cushing, who didn't like to travel from Boston, he said, "I'm Boston born, I'm Boston bred, and when I die, I'll be Boston dead." The Cardinal of Boston flew to Rome, and he gave the greatest speech of his life. And he said, "We must do better." I'm going to paraphrase it. "We must do better than what we have. We must make a statement and move forward. Particularly, we have, as Christians, we failed basically during the Holocaust. We did not speak out. We did not act. We were often perpetrators of the crimes of killing Jews." And it was that speech, which he gave in Latin, that really, I firmly believe, I've written about it, saved the day. But it was not just Cushing. You got it right. It was really members of the American Catholic community, lay and clergy, who rallied and pushed hard to make sure that Nostra Aetate was adopted.
One of the things that came out of this dialogue and this interreligious cooperation is the theology of a dual covenant. And
yes,
I know that I've spoken to Catholics who, when asked to explain it, get a little bit tongue-tied because it seems extremely revolutionary. So I'm just curious, in the dual covenant, it indicates that the covenant, the Jewish covenant with Abraham, is valid and it continues to be valid, as opposed to the older way of thinking that as soon as Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, that was the new covenant and the old covenant was void. And that understanding, has a lot of years behind it. And now the covenant says that both are correct, that one can acknowledge the covenant with Jesus or the original covenant. Am I correct that that's what the dual covenant says?
Yes. Let me put it in maybe even more graphic terms that your listeners would understand. I'll make it as simple as it is that the covenant made between God and the Jewish people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, at Mount Sinai, when, according to Jewish tradition in the book of Exodus in the Bible, the Ten Commandments were handed down to Moses. Jews being Jews, they were rebelling. He got upset. He broke the tablets, had to go back and get a second time. But that covenant is forever. We call it the Sinai Covenant. Christians have the Calvary. So the events of Calvary, the resurrection of Jesus, is a covenant as well. So those two are co-equal, and therefore one is not displacing the other. One is not better than the other. They're different. And maybe that's what God, those who preach the dual covenant, say that maybe that's what God wants. After all these years of trying to convert Jews and killing Jews, expelling Jews, putting them on the rack, doing terrible things, maybe after all of that, and that's what I think what happened at Vatican II, let's give this up. But now, the dual covenant is not in Nostra Aetate, and not every Christian subscribes to it, that these are co-equal covenants with God, and that we reach the same place, reach God. But you got it right. Those are the two. If I want to put it again in graphic terms, it's two separate train tracks, two separate station masters going on parallel tracks, but at the end we all meet God together as co-equals. And that is the dual covenant. It's a bit revolutionary for both sides, for both communities, and not all Jews and not all Christians subscribe to it, but that you've analyzed it. And it's a very powerful doctrine. Now, for those folks who are listening who know the New Testament, look in the book of Romans, written by Paul, Romans chapters 9 to 11. And in that, I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have the text right in front of me, God doesn't go back on his promises to Israel, to the Jewish people. And Paul says, by no means does God repudiate his covenant with the Jews. So the book of Romans in the New Testament, particularly chapters 9, 10, and 11, have been, again, one of the sources for not only the dual covenant, but for the belief that Jews have a permanent covenant that began at Sinai, never been repudiated, never been replaced, never been displaced, and never will be. It's eternal. Even for Christians, the Jesus story, the death, the resurrection, is eternal as well. And that's revolutionary. And I would say that the last 55 years, I said it, I think, last week, been more positive relations between Catholics and Jews in the last 55 years. This is a revolution. Remember who we're dealing with here, two of the oldest faith traditions in the world, and the Catholic Church, one of the largest faith communities in the world. To be able to make a change with Nostra Aetate starting that change is in many ways miraculous. I am sure, I always like to say, I am sure when I speak to a Catholic group, that if their grandparents and my grandparents who are looking down and or sitting on a bench with us or coming to our men's club meeting or our services, they would be amazed. It's what's happened in the past 55 years. Because certainly Jews grew up with a view of the Catholic Church, which, to put it mildly, was not favorable. That's a nice way to put it. In hostile terms. Because this was the church that was the Crusades, the church of the Inquisition, the church of the expulsion from Spain, Portugal, it could go on and on. And for Christians who maybe were taught Jews are despised by God or should be permanently punished by God for the crime of killing Jesus, to come down two generations later and see the progress that has been made, we're nowhere near complete. But we're on the path, and Nostra Aetate was the trigger. That really broke through. That was the dam that broke, and with it came the waters of, I think, a mutual understanding and salvation, salvation for both communities from this ingrained hatred and mutual suspicion that we had of one another. And so, when we look back at 55 years, it's not the end, but it's the beginning of the end, and it's going to take a lot of work. Now, the challenge is not just that Nostra Aetate is observed and taught in North America and in Europe, but because the Catholic Church and the Jewish people live throughout the world, and now I'll talk about South America, where Catholic growth, Christian growth, is explosive and growing. or that or in Africa, where there are smaller Jewish communities, South Africa and in other parts, that's where we have to work very, very hard, because they're really strangers to one another in many, many places. And let me just shock everybody to say that more than half of the world's Jewish people now live in Asia. Now, when I say Asia, everybody thinks, oh, that's China, India, Japan, where Korea, where I was stationed in the Air Force. No, they live in Southwest Asia, which is called the State of Israel. And we often forget that Israel is in Asia, in the Middle East, and that's where more than half the Jews of the world now live. And it's very interesting to see how Catholic and Jewish communities in the 55 years have really progressed, but much more work needs to be done. And I would also maybe conclude by saying, if Catholics and Jews can begin the revolutionary change of mutual respect, mutual understanding, mutual knowledge, if we can do it, maybe, just maybe, this revolution can be a model for other places in the world, other peoples, other conflicts, not necessarily religious, but political, ethnic. So I think what Catholics and Jews have done has been extraordinary, and I've really been honored to be part of it, but much more needs to be done. But we can thank those bishops, and particularly John the 23rd and his associates, the American Catholic Church and its members, and of course, the remarkable popes, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul the 2nd, and now Francis, who have really, and Pope Benedict the 16th, all of them have worked very hard to make Nostra Aetate a living document, and not just on paper. And that's one of the miracles. You know, you can pass all the resolutions you want about goodwill and mutual understanding, but it can be dead letter. It just doesn't go anywhere. Catholics and Jews work together and are still working together to make it come alive. And so we should celebrate these 55 years since Nostra Aetate, but there's much more to do. There is a poem,
Unfortunately, Rabbi, unfortunately, we are down to the wire. So okay. I apologize for cutting you off.
Good place to stop.
Yeah, yeah. I will remind people that your website is jamesrudin.com, R-U-D-I-N, if you're interested in the rabbi's writings. And I want to thank you so much for being with us today and last week as well.
My honor.
Please join us again next week here on Common Threads.